Wednesday the 26th of November, Kof Chet Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Donny Oman, an introduction to Bittul Berov.
I'd like to talk a little bit about my friend Shimon. My friend Shimon. My friend Shimon has this thing that he loves. He loves a good salami sandwich. Now, when I say he likes a salami sandwich, he doesn't just take two pieces of bread and throw in a few pieces of meat and that's it. He considers a salami sandwich a work of art. He probably could give you a degree on the lessons on just how to make a salami sandwich. So he has, first of all, the meat has to be so high, and there's mustard, sauerkraut, a ton of pickles, and it has to be perfect. Now, because of this hobby that he has, whenever he goes to work every morning, he stops off at the deli, and he orders his salami, whatever it may be, as much as it takes. He takes it to work. He has his private little fridge at work, together with his jar of mustard, sauerkraut, mustard, and the perfect club bread, and he's ready to go. Comes 12 o'clock, his alarm rings. And goes to work. He makes every time it's a masterpiece. Now Tuesday something happened. Tuesday, he had a deadline that was approaching, and he saw he wasn't going to make the deadline by 5 o'clock, and he knew that he was going to be a long evening in the office. So when it came 12 o'clock, what he did is he said, I'm going to be here 7, I'm going to be here 8, it's going to be a long night. So, much to his woe, he had to take out a little bit of his salami from his regular lunch, and he put it aside for his dinner, for his supper. So he has two slices of salami that didn't make into the sandwich. After all, he wasn't going to ruin the sandwich. So just two slices, he puts it on a plate, and he has his little fridge, so that's fine, and he puts it in. Now, Shimon has a secretary, and she comes running in, and she also has one slice of salami left over from her lunch. And she says, "Boss, do you mind if I leave my meat in your fridge?" He says, "Well, how much do you have?" She says, "I just have one slice." He has two slices, we'll leave it on separate plates, no problem. But then comes Shimon's daughter, and she has this big bottle of Coke, and it doesn't fit into the fridge. So she says, "Why are they wasting so much space? All these plates in the fridge." So she takes the salami, she puts it all together into one plate, puts her Coke in, and before Shimon could say no, his salami is ruined, because Shimon does keep kosher, and his secretary Nancy does not. And he doesn't know which is the kosher salami and which is the trace salami, and his daughter is long gone. So what do we do? So you could say, if you're a big machmer, you might say, "Shimon, you got to throw it out. That's it. Tonight there's no salami." That's one approach. Or you might say, Shimon, after all, this is your lucky day. Your secretary is leaving early. She says she doesn't like the salami anyways. You can now have three slices of salami in your sandwich. After all, two just wouldn't be the same. Or maybe there's something in the middle. So this is a shaila, doesn't go through all the particulars with Shimon and the secretary and the daughter, but this is a shaila in Yaradeya Kuftes, and it says if you have two pieces, they have to be, they can't be very prominent pieces. I picked salami, I don't know if that's really accurate, but in other words, if it would be a really good steak, it would be more chumer, but I try to pick something that's not so kosher. A small piece of food, a slice of salami isn't that much. You don't really count them out. So, would you say that he could eat all three? So the Rush is the most lenient opinion. The Rush says, there's a principle of bittul berov. If you have two that are mutter, two that are permitted, and one that's usher, well now you have three that are mutter. You may as well enjoy it. That's the Rush. That's the sheet of the Rush. And he says it's a xeris akasav, it's learned out of a pasuk, achir ava mahatas. The Rashba is a step more chamer than the Rash. He says, you could eat all three slices, but you are hoping to make a sandwich out of all three. That's not going to work. What you got to do is you eat them one at a time. First one slice of salami, then another slice of salami, and then a third slice. And each slice you say, that's the one that's mutter, it must be the other two that are usher. So what do you do when you already made two and there's one left? So you say the other one's in my stomach, but this one must for sure be good, right? And you go ahead and eat it, and that's the opinion of the Rashba. A little bit, we're working from lenient to chomer. Smag quotes from Tysus, he says, the position, he says, it's true, you can't eat them all together, but you know what? To eat all three, one yid to eat all three doesn't look good. He says, give one to your friend. You know what? Give it to your daughter. She's the one that did it in the first place. Right? So you can eat two. So you eat one and then eat another one. And the first slice you can give to another yid. You give to your daughter, you give to your family. Not a problem. Most chamer is the Maram, I think the Maram of Rutenberg. And what he would do is he would say to give the third one to a yid, it's pasnish, how could you give a piece? It looks like you're giving trace to a yid. He says it's not nice. He said what he did, his own personal chumra, was that he would give the third one to a non-Jew, to somebody that didn't keep kosher, perhaps he threw one away. That was a personal chumra. And the Ramah comments that this is just a chumra b'yama, it's not really rooted strongly in halakha. It was a personal frumkeit that the Maram of Rutenberg had because he was a big tzaddik. Okay, so we have four ways to approach this sandwich. So how do you paskin? So that depends. If you're Mibnei Svard, so then you probably go like the Shulchan Aruch, who probably holds like the Rajba. Because the Shulchan Aruch speaks out two opinions. One he says Bistam, one he says Yesh Agmim. I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming Bistam is the Iker. And therefore, the Bnei Svar who go like the Mechaber Mestama, what they would do is like the Rajba, they can eat all three. One Jew could eat all three slices of salami, but not together. If you were looking forward to that sandwich, I'm sorry, Shimon, next day you'll have to be more careful. Right? So you can eat them one at a time. One slice of salami, second slice of salami, third slice of salami, but not all three. That's for Bnei Svar. What about Bnei Ashkenaz? Those that hold like the Ramah, what do they do? That's more complicated. If they're in a pinch, if there's a makom hefted, if you're going to lose, so then they say, you know what, we have the rush is the most lenient, you could eat all three together in one sandwich. Right? So if it's a shas atchak and you're craving, you need that sandwich, and that paskening is probably not good, but it has to be a hefted, some say hefted meruba. Some say hefted meruba. That's otherwise, but let's say there's no hefted, and that's probably the typical case, because you could always give one slice to a friend, you can give one slice to your family. You have to give them anyways, you may as well share it out. Or maybe you could sell one slice. So very often there is no hefted. So then the Rama says, lechatchila, we're going to be machmir. Not only like the Rajba, that you have to eat them separately, but you should give one to somebody else. To another Jew. It could be to a Jew. But you should give one, but it shouldn't be eaten all by the same person. Okay? That's the halacha. Now what I'd like to focus on is the more stricter opinions, right? The more stricter opinions are that you can't eat all three at the same time, and Ashkenazi Jews are noyed that way lechatchila, even more than that lechatchila, and Sfardim are noyed that way medina. Now there's two ways to understand that. Why can't I eat all three at the same time? Why not? There's a lacha of bittul berav. There's a lacha. There's a principle in the Torah that whenever there's a majority, you can go by a majority. And I am eating all three. I seems I hold that they're mutter. So why is it that I can't eat them all at the same time? And in the Achronim, I think there are two diverse approaches to understand, two general approaches, but very different, to understand why is it that you can't eat all three at the same time. First approach is hidden away, tucked away in a Shar Tzion. In Or HaChaim Tuf Mem Zayin, I don't know who brought that down, but somebody pointed me to it. It's Or HaChaim Tuf Mem Zayin, the Shar Tzion. Oh, I didn't write the Sif Katan. I think it's Lamed, I'm not sure. It's about there. So, Mishabur Lamed Gimel and Shartian, I think Lamed, I'm not sure. And he says, you know, really, the Rajba really, really agrees with the Rush. Because after all, there's a principle in the Torah of Bittul Berav, and really, technically speaking, the Rajba holds, you should have been able to eat all three at the same time, put it in a sandwich and enjoy it. However, he says, it doesn't look good. We find sometimes there's a principle. And halacha, I'm ending on a little bit here. This isn't all the Mishnah Berurah. This is one way to understand the Mishnah Berurah. We find sometimes there's a principle in halacha that if something doesn't look good, it's hard for people to understand. So it might look like a puzzling to people. People might make fun of it. It might make it seem light in people's eyes. And Chazal said, you know what, we're going to forbid it. What's going to happen is if somebody sees you eating all three sandwiches, he's not a lamdan, he didn't learn. He sees you eating all three slices, he's going to say you're eating tafras. He'll say this whole Torah business with rice, it sounds too funny for me, I can't buy it. I just can't believe it. And therefore, because of these people that are going to be laughing at the Torah, Chazal made an achaka, and they said, don't eat all three at the same time. It's too much. You're going to make a latanus. For some people, they're not learned, you're going to make a latanus out of the Torah. And we find such kzeiros, the sugyas of shnei shlimim, two people went down a road, and that midrabanan, you shouldn't have contradictions in halacha, they make such gzeiros. Okay, that's one approach. And it would seem that the Mishnah Berurah holds that's the halacha. He speaks it out. He says it's only midrabanan. But really, really, essentially, the Rashba agrees the way it works is bittul barayis. There's nothing here that's really forbidden at all. It's entirely mutter. That's one approach. However, there are a number of achronim that they seem to take a different approach. They seem to say that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees with the Rush. The Rush says that there's no issa here. It says issa nepech leheter. Leheter, it's entirely permitted. The Rashba says no, there is issa here. He disagrees with that premise. We always call a bittul barov that it's nullified by the majority. Rashi says, no, this nullification, I don't know where you got it from, but it's too much. I know there's a principle of rov that you can assume that the piece that you're eating, that's from the majority. That you could do. I understand that. But to say that there's a halacha of rov that defies reality, that it takes something that's forbidden, it takes a shtik chazer, and it turns into something that's mutter, the Rashi says that's too much. I don't buy that. So it means fundamentally, there's a very, very big difference between the Rashba and the Rush. According to the Rush, you can nullify Isser, it's no longer there. According to the Rashba, no, the Isser is there, it's Chai V'Kayim, but you can negotiate, you could try and work it out, that you could assume that you're not eating it. Perhaps there's an Agash Shari Dura that the Beis Yosef brings down. He says if you were to cook it all together, he says, Alashin Vadei Aser Minatara. I'm not sure, they didn't show him this Shari Dura, but it would seem he holds like the second approach. Not like the Mishnah Berurah, it would seem that he'll take the second approach, that the Yoraisa Minotaur is forbidden, there is Isser here.
That's not
Yavish B'Yavish, no, but it's not. It's not Yavish B'Yavish, it should be, but that would be even more cow. We'll get to it soon, maybe. Okay? Hold on a second. Oh. Now, one major source that many Achronim use to prove this sad, that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees with the Rush, is the Bir Hagra. And the number of Chayim point this out, the Mishnah Sir Baran, the Birchas Avram, Shiri Harav, Birchas Kain, they all say that this Gra seems to imply, some people try to be Deichet, but they all say that this Gra seems to imply that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees with the Rush. Because he says, he basically speaks it out, he says, the reason of the Rashba is that we say, he says, what? Now each one I say, this is the one that's Mutter. Tama Bittul, what's the reason for Bittul? On each one I say, this is the one that's mutter. He speaks it out a few times, but he says, according to the Rush, no, the Rush says different. The Rush says it's not because of a suffix, but it's Isser Nepech Leheter, the Isser has changed its property, it's now permitted, right? And therefore you can eat it with a sachas. So we have, the Bir Gra seems to imply that there's two very, that is the Isa. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan seems to say the same thing. That's what he seems to be saying, that it's a fundamental machlokes. He says, the Rashba speaks out that each one I eat, we mentioned it before, each one I eat, I say, this is the one that's mutter. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, according to the Rush, what do you mean, this is the one that's mutter? They're all mutter. How could you point to any one over the other one? There's nothing here to talk about. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, that's very different. In fact, he goes a step further. It's not perfectly clear what he's going, but he's going, we said there are a number of levels of chumrah. The Rashba says eat them sequentially, not simultaneously. Right? The Tznag says give one to another yid. Right? And the Maron Rotenberg, he didn't eat one at all. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I assume he's going to all three, I'm not certain, but he says all these chumras, he says, they don't make sense according to the Rush. What are you being machmir? There's nothing here that's forbidden. You're giving one, you're giving it to the guy, you're giving it to your daughter. He said, according to the Rush, these chumras are nonsensical. There's nothing here that's forbidden. Everything is absolutely mutter. He says, but if there's a fundamental disagreement, if you hold there really is something gasser, now you could say, I'm gonna be machmir. There's something gasser. I don't know which one it is. I'm gonna be machmir. Right? Then you could talk. But he says, according to the Rush, not. So we see that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, we see it's a machlokes again, how to understand Rav. But we also see that Aruch HaShulchan argues, he says, once you hold that it's bittul barov, that you nullify the forbidden matter, and it's not here, he says, we couldn't make a gzeira, this whole business of Shnei Shvim, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, would not be true. So let's review one more time. Let's get this down. By the coins, if you're according to the Mechaber, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're from Bnei Svarat, the lacha would be like the Rashba, the Chayra, and that means you have to eat them one at a time. If you're a Bnei Ashkenaz, the halacha is, not only is it the chachila, not only is it you should eat it one at a time, but the last one you should give to somebody else. I don't know the last one, but you should give one to somebody else. Okay? And if it's Malcolm Hefzid, if you're going to lose, if you're going to lose, then you're allowed to eat all three together. Now, how are you going to lose? What's chat? Why is the makom hafsid? So that situation is what was mentioned before. That's if it was all cooked together. Right? You see, if somebody took all three pieces of meat, he put it in a pot, and he cooked them up, so now the trace taste has been infused throughout the entire pot. So now I can no longer say I'm going to give the one to somebody else, because everything is infused with the iser. So now already you're going to have to throw out the entire thing. It's a makom hafsid. Or maybe some hold you need hafsid merubah, and then even for B'nai Ashkenaz only, it would be mutter.
So you can cook one separate and the other two separate.
There's a razma like that, shach sifkat yudai. I'm not going to get into it, but yes, it's a good point. We're going to talk about something similar, time permitting. Okay.
If it's cooked together, the more you can make.
Excuse me?
If it's cooked together.
If it's cooked together, so then the trace taste has gone throughout the entire pot, and no matter what you're eating, every spoonful you eat is going to have some of the trace in it. So therefore, if you were to be machmir, it comes out with the hafsid. You'd have to throw out the whole pot. So B'nai Ashkenaz are makom, but makom hafsid, they rely on the rush and the sheet of the rush. It says that the whole pot is mutter because there's a loss. Okay. Now, prima godin.
You can't say I haven't got it. I have made it.
Right, so we're going, because really the rush holds.
How can you even make it?
Right, you're right. Because we're explaining that there's two approaches to Rav. The Rajma's approach is, as you're saying, that you point to one and you say, this is the one,
yeah.
Right? But you're right, but that wouldn't work here. According to the Rajma, you're absolutely correct that it would be forbidden. But according to the rush, what we do is we say that since the Rav of the majority of this mixture is permitted, it gives a property to the entire mixture, and now the entire mixture is permitted. And there's nothing here that's usher. You don't have to guess. There's nothing to guess. There's no guesswork. It's changed its characteristics.
Do
you
talk shishim or something
about it? Similar to shishim, but you know, we're going midiraisa. You don't even need shishim. By min b'mino, midiraisa. By yavish b'yavish, you don't need shishim. Okay. Now the prima godim wants to prove that he's probably the source. The case of the Mishnah Berurah that the reason why you don't eat all three together is only midrabanan. And he says like this. He says the case maybe it was mentioned before. A case of lach b'lach. Now, the tuna we were talking about, you had three separate pieces, and each one was standing independently. You had one slice of salami, second slice of salami, third slice of salami. And they're not blended. But so what would be if you cook them together? So now, as you mentioned, now the taste is infused throughout the entire thing. Or let's say you pureed your food, right? And it's a total liquid, and you mixed all the liquids together, you put them on the stove and you heat them together, the taste is all over the place. There's no question about it. So we hold, if it's min b'mino, this is the way we hold, meaning they're both the same taste, but both foods are the same taste, the kosher food, the non-kosher food, they're both salami for argument's sake, they're both the same taste, and they're liquidized, right? So now the taste has totally blended one within the other. We hold nevertheless, min atara, midiraisa, it's rov is good enough, not shishim, right? Rov is good enough, midirbani you need shishim. That's your correct, midirbani you need shishim, you need 60, but we hold, as long as you have rov, it's good enough. Says the Prima Godim, what do you mean? How could it be good enough? Your question. No matter what you eat, you're going to be eating the trace. How could it be? Right? And yet, everybody agrees, well, the halacha, the basic halacha is that you could eat min atara, midiraisa, it's mutter to eat the pot even with just the majority. Says the Prima Godim, you see that midiraisa, this principle of bitzel b'rov, that we're not guessing which is the mutter piece and which is the aser piece. We're not guessing, because then you'll be stuck. There's iser all over the place. What you're doing is we're saying the iser no longer exists. It's been nullified. Bittul means nullification. That's really what the word means. Since this is one mixture, and the rove of this mixture, the majority of this mixture is mutter, it gives an identity to the entire mixture that is permitted. That's the opinion of the Prima Godim. Now, there are a number of achrayim who say Prima Godim's raya is not a good raya. Maybe that's what you were saying before. And he says, they say because the bittul, the nullification that takes place by two liquids is much, much stronger than what takes place by separate pieces. When you have separate pieces, there's a various ways to do it. One way you could say is because there's nothing independent. Everything is totally blended together, right? There's nothing that stands aside as its own. So therefore it becomes nullified more. That's one way, the approach to the Birkas Avram. Another way, Birkas Kain, he says like this. He says, when you have three pieces of salami and you go to the rabbi, you say, Rabbi, can I eat this? Right? How many shaylas are you asking? You're really asking him three shaylas, right? You're asking him. In fact, if he had to go claim his check from his congregation, and he would be based his pay on how many shaylas he answered, right? So you can write down in his little notebook, I answer three shaylos. I ask him, is this piece of meat kosher? Is that piece of meat kosher? Is the third piece? He has three shaylos. When you have a pot of cholent, and in that pot of cholent is cooking a piece of non-kosher meat, you only have one shaylos. You're going to the rabbi, Rabbi, can I eat this pot? Can I use this pot? There's no two shaylos. There's one shaylos. It's only one shaylos. So he says, if there's three shaylos, so then each one, we approach each one separately, and we decide, is this the aser piece? Is this the mutter piece? Right, that's how you do it. However, if you're coming with a pot, something's cooking in the clock, there's only one question. Is this pot kosher or mutter? Then you use the other principle, the principle of the, what we call the principle of the rush, of nullification, and the rav gives identity to the whole thing. Okay, so we have a machlokes, this that we Bnei Ashkenaz will not eat all three together, right? And Sfaradim also, we don't do it. So we have a machlokes, is that an issa d'oraisa or is it an issa d'rabbanan? Right, this is we don't eat it all together. Some, the Mishnah Berurah says it's only an issa d'rabbanan, but really there's no issa here at all. And others, they base it on the Bi'ur HaGra, Pepsar HaShulchan, they say that no, mid'oraisa, there is issa here. What's the difference? Does it make a difference? It makes a shir. For me it's important because I have something to talk about. But practically speaking, will there be an aftamina? So at this point, I'm for sure not going to pass in here. What I'm going to do is, I think the title is Introduction to Bittul Berurah, so I'm going to mention a few cases where it might have an impact. And then you'll have to go be ma'ayin yourself, or you'll ask your Rav, and maybe you'll be able to come to a conclusion, and then you can tell me. Okay? The first one is the Taisus Rid. And that is, there's a Taisus Rid in Baba Basra who says, you know, what would happen if somebody by mistake, he ate all three together? And only afterwards did he find out this whole story that the secretary put the food in the fridge, right? And then his daughter mixed it up, and he says, "Oy vey, I ate tapas," right? And he says, "Well," somebody says, "you know, maybe there's bittul berurah." He looks in the Shulchan Aruch, says, "No, you're not supposed to eat them all together, right? You're not supposed to do that." So, what would be in the times of the Beis Hamikdash? Would he have to bring a carbon? He would have to bring a carbon chatas. He ate all three together, even though there's a principle of rov, but if you ate all three, right, you have to make the karma chatas. So if you learn like the Aruch HaShulchan, that the prohibition is a deraisa prohibition, it's min ha-Torah, there's issa here, and you for sure ate that issa so then you have to make a karma chatas. But if you hold like the Prima Gadim or the Mishnah Berurah, that they say no, deraisa, there is no issa here, it's only a chagam adrabanan, so people shouldn't blast. So then you don't have to bring the karma chatas. You save yourself the dollar. That's one difference. One difference is, do you bring a carbon? And bezman is that, perhaps you write it down in your notebook that you owe a carbon. Okay. Now, another important difference is b'makom safek. If you have a doubt, you don't know whether you ate all three together or not. You're not sure what you did, right? So then, or maybe there's a safek in din. There's some sort of suffix, there's some sort of doubt. So if it's d'oraisa, the principle is suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, you have to be strict. And if it's only rabbinic, then the principle is suffix d'oraisa l'kula. There's another case, which I saw some, I think you mentioned it before actually, a similar case, that I saw someone to say, suggest that it really depends on this halacha. What's the case? What we did now is we mentioned both extremes of halacha. We said, don't eat them all together. If you eat them all together, while you're eating it, you're for sure eating gizzer. Right? And we said, on the other hand, what should you do? Eat them separately, one at a time. Right? But the truth is, there are cases in the middle. What you could do is you could make two piles. Eat two at a time, and then one at a time. Right? You could really divide it in half. Or let's say your secretary tells, right, she wants her slice back. Can I eat two at a time? Is it permitted to eat two at a time, and can I do that? Why? What's the shaila? There's no rub. Okay, good. Okay, so let's look at this closely. If you say that midiraisa, the Rajbah really, really, in principle, fundamentally, the Rajbah agrees with the Rush, and there's a principle of bittul berurah, which means that there's no issa here. The issa, the property of this meat, of every piece of meat here, is that it's entirely mutter, it's entirely permitted. So then I could entertain. So what's the problem? The only problem is, if you eat all three at the same time, somebody's going to look at you and says, you know, right now I'm positive that you're eating with something trace, right? Somebody's going to laugh at you, right? So let's say you're eating two. He's not going to laugh, because he could always say, which is the trace one, the third one, right? And why is it mutter to eat? It's mutter to eat because the Rashba fundamentally agrees with the Rush. Bitl barov, the iser has been nullified. There is no iser here. So according to that approach, you would be allowed to eat two at a time. In fact, that's the way the Shach Paskins. The Shach Paskins, it's mutter to eat two at a time. I think he bases it on your case with cooking. On the other hand, though, if you say that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees with the Rush, and he feels there's no such thing as this principle of nullification, he disagrees with it. And he says, we're just playing a game. We're trying to decide which is the one that's mutter, which is the one that's us, if you learn that way. So now when you have two, I don't know, I'm not so good at math, but you have to work it out. The way I understand it is if I have two piles, and I eat one pile of two and I leave the other pile of one, the way I understand it, it's a 50-50 chance. I don't know if my math is right, but it's either in this pile or it's in that pile. There's no other option, right? 50-50 chance, I don't have rov anymore, right? Some ask it even more, I don't understand them as well. Some ask the rov is against you, because you're eating the rov is in your hand. So the rov is against you, it's really saying you, it should be for sure forbidden. And I did see in a sefer that he says this, that the Shach Paskins that you could eat two at a time, that's because he's going like the Prima Godin, that it's only forbidden rabbinically, but it's essentially mutter. But according to the Bi'ur HaBra, who says that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees and he holds that there's this a here, you would not be able to eat two at a time either, because you don't have the principle of Rav to tell me which one is mutter, which one is aser. Okay? Now I thought that this was a Shitas Yachid. When I saw this in the Sefer, I thought, you know, the person had broader shoulders, he's certainly a Talmud Chacham, you know, knows a lot more than me, but I thought it was a big chiddush, he's arguing with the Shach. That's what I thought. But then I looked in the Aruch HaShulchan, and he really says the same thing. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down the Shach, and he says, but if you look in the Rashba, it doesn't really seem that the Shach is right, and it should really be forbidden to eat two at the same time. And he says, and I'll show you, there's a sheet in Mekabetis and Dega that says clearly that you can't eat two at the same time, and he disagrees with the Shach. Why does the Aruch HaShulchan disagree with the Shach? Because the Aruch HaShulchan is going according to his own understanding. He understands that the Rashba fundamentally disagrees with the Rush, and there is Isser here. So he says, if there's Isser here, and I have two, I'm eating two at the same time, I don't have Rav. I'm two out of the three. I'm eating now. If anything, the Rav is working against me. He says, according to the Rashba, I would not be able to eat two at the same time. So now, what's the difference if it's Asa Medirayta or Asa Medirabana? A practical difference. Can I take two and put it in my sandwich, and Shimon can have some sort of solution for a sandwich, at least he has two, or no, he has to have one measly slice of salami, assuming it's not a chatika ruya l'skabe and a davish of a minion, at least he could have that. Okay, there's another possible nafkamina, and I'm only saying possible, but there's another possible nafkamina. There's a very big machloikis in the Paiskim, an interesting question. The question they ask is, when we say you go by majority, what do we mean? Do we mean rov minion? Or do we mean Rav Binyan? Rav Binyan or Rav Binyan? What do I mean? Let's say I have one really big piece of meat, one really, really large piece of meat, and two small pieces. They're so small that the bigger meat weighs more, there's a bigger volume than those two put together. Yeah? So now where's the majority? Which is the majority? I could say Rav Binyan, I count them up. Two against one, you win. Right? And therefore they can nullify the third, and I can even eat the third one. That's one way to approach it. Or the other way to approach it is, no, let's count up the pounds of meat. The bigger one is much more bigger, and that's the rub, that's the majority. The other one, quantity, if I look at quantity, those two, they're much less. So perhaps you could say, it depends really on how you look at it. If what you're doing is, you're looking at the entire pot at once, you're looking at the entire pot, this is Megillas Tarim, I've heard another person on this year too. If what you're doing is you're looking at the entire pot at once and you're giving a property of heter, of you say, a permissibility to the entire pot, similar to the rush, so then it makes sense what you do is you look at the composition of that pot. You look at the composition of your terubis. You say, what's it made up of? And you count the quantity. You count how much meat there is. And you go by Rav Binyan. And that, in fact, is the way the Prima Godim holds, that you count the quantity, which, because the Prima Godim holds that everybody holds from this principle of nullification, which means, one approach is, that means you look at the entire pot together, and you give it one property. But if what you're doing is the other approach, the approach of the Aruch HaShulchan in the Rashba, and we're not saying giving a property to the entire pot, but what we're doing is each piece of meat we're looking at singularly, and we're trying to decide, is this the one that's aser, or is this the one that's mutter? So what you do is, you're counting up your possibilities. And as soon as you say the majority of possibilities is with me, then I'm allowed to eat it. So then, regardless of the size of the pieces, there's three possibilities here. With any piece of meat that I'm eating, it's one of those possibilities, and there are two other possibilities. Then you would go baser rov. You would go baser rov minyan. Okay, so let's just there's a third nafkamina which we're going to leave for a different time, but we'll just wrap up. According to the Rush, the lacha is you can eat the entire thing. There's nothing here that's forbidden. According to the Rashba, you can't eat them all together. According to the Chashulchan, Diyoraisam and Atar, you can't eat them all together. According to Mishtabur, it's only Midrabanan, that you can't eat it all together. What's the difference if it's Diyoraisa or Dirabanan? We suggested four. We left the first difference for another time. Right? One possibility is that you have to write down in your little notebook that you have to bring a carbon chatas. Now the principle, Nafkamin, another difference would be, do you say Safik Rais Lachum or Safik Jabban Lakula? A third possible Nafkamina is, am I allowed to eat two at a time? And the last nafkamina, which is Sarachin, I'm not passing here on anything, right? But the last nafkamina would be, do I count out the pieces and I go by the majority of numbers? Or do I count the weight of the pieces, the volume of the pieces, and I go by the kamas, the quantity, the majority of weight? Shkaich.